Well, we've been doing a whole series on living as sons and daughters of God. It is up online. If you've missed any of it, I encourage you to get it. This morning, I feel like it's the last one I'm doing in this series, and it's on the glory of sons. So let's start by having a look at a scripture that we've looked at many times so far, Romans 8, 15 and 16. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. An amazing truth, which I hope is starting to settle in your heart, that the moment you are born again, you are born into God's family. You are his son or his daughter. You carry his likeness. In this passage of scripture, there's two words that we need to highlight. And the first one is the word children here. In the Greek, it's technon. It means born ones. So it refers to anybody right from the moment of birth into the kingdom, right on through. We are born ones. But there is another word that you're going to discover as we keep reading in this passage, and it's the word sons, and it's the word huios. And that word refers to those who have a likeness to their father, that when you see them, you know what their father is like. But it says here that we start off as being children of God. And that's a great place to start. And it's even greater when we add the next verse in. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Joint heirs with Christ. That means everything that belongs to Jesus belongs to you. I don't know if that boggles your mind, but it boggles mine. You are a joint heir with Jesus. His inheritance as the only begotten Son of Almighty God is your inheritance. It's no wonder the Bible says that our eyes haven't seen and our imagination can't even come up with what our glorious future is going to be like. We can't even dream it. Why? Because we have this amazing inheritance in God. Our time here on earth is short, but eternity is very long. If you feel like the years are flying past, that's okay. Eternity won't fly past. But eternity is affected by now. And that's where the second part of this verse comes in. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Come on. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Now that middle section of the verse we all wish wasn't there. We would just like to know that we have an inheritance and we've got glory waiting for us and we can just live in the glory, love the glory. But who wants the middle section? God's not backward in telling us that there is a cost. There is a cost if we want to have the inheritance that God has for us. Yes, we're born into the kingdom, and as I said last week, if we arrive in the kingdom still wearing our diapers, God is going to still celebrate us and say, "Great, you made it." But I believe that we are meant to walk into heaven knowing that we are sons and daughters and with a glory on our life that says, "I laid hold of what you gave me." I think many of us struggle because we don't understand what we are going through sometimes. And there are times when we can just put it down to mystery and having to walk by faith. But I believe that there is also an understanding that God wants his sons to have. A couple of sessions ago, I spent quite a lot of time talking about becoming part of a team, a rugby team or a sports team of some sort. To get involved in that is a cost. It costs you time. It costs you energy. Sometimes it costs you injury. But why do people join it? Well, for various reasons. But they pay a price to join it. And sometimes I think we misunderstand what God is doing in our life and we think he is upset with us or we think we've done something wrong. And all that God is saying is, "I want you to lay hold of what I have for you. But you won't do it while you're in your diapers. You won't do it if you think I'm going to carry you everywhere. I want you to walk. I want you to run. I want you to lay hold of the very thing that I've called you to." Some of you here are parents, and I'm sure you've had experiences where you have had your kids beg you, "Don't send me to school, I don't want to go." Did you send them anyway? Did they think you were mean? Probably. But you did it because you loved them. You love them enough to want them to grow and not always be dependent on you. Now, we will always be dependent upon God, but he wants us to grow so that we may walk in what he has for us. I did get an amen. Awesome. It was a very slight one, but it was good to hear. Let's keep reading. In fact, we'll read verse 17 again. "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." If I had a car worth $50,000 and I told you you could have it for $1,000, would you pay the $1,000? Well, I'm getting some laughs. Who would pay the $1,000 to get a $50,000 car? Would you go around then saying, "I had to pay $1,000? Or would you go around saying, "I only had to pay $1,000 and look what I got"? It depends on your perspective. And sometimes we are looking at the cost instead of the reward. It says of Jesus that he endured because he saw the joy. And I hope this morning you're going to start to see some of the joy on the other side of where you're at. I Well, that would have been a good place to say amen. Matthew 13:44, Jesus speaking, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." Now, we can look at the fact that he had to sell all that he had, or we can look at the fact that he only had to buy the field. See, you can't buy the treasure. None of us can buy the treasure. But we will have to buy the field that it's hidden in. So last week, we looked at three areas that we suffer in, that we might walk in the glory. We looked at persecution, temptation, training and discipline. Okay, if you want to know more, listen to last week's message. The fourth area I touched on, and when I did, I felt the response. See, I think this is the area where most of us are at. Persecution, temptation, being trained and disciplined as a child are areas that we all expect. They belong to everybody. But there is another area that we have to choose to be involved in. It's the area of contending. And I think a lot of us are here and we don't understand it. And because we don't understand it, we back off from it rather than push through it. On the other side of what you are contending for is breakthrough and reward. And the Bible calls that glory. That's where Romans 8 comes in, that if we suffer with him, then we will have the reward of the glory that we paid a price to lay hold of. So what is contending all about? Well, let's look at some definitions. To contend means to state that something is true, to debate with somebody, to struggle to deal with something, to compete for something, especially a prize or trophy. Now this morning, we're going to go through those areas because I'm sure that there's ones of you here who can say, yes, that's where I'm at. So let's find out where you're at and look at the joy that God set before you. So the first one, to state that something is true. Folks, that's called faith. That's holding on to a promise. That's laying hold of a prophecy. That's holding on to something and declaring what you can't see when everything around you that you do see is the opposite. And many of us have been there where we have declared healing and we don't see a change. Where we have said, God supplies all my need, and we're looking at an unpaid bill that we cannot meet. It's when the diagnosis says one thing and God says another. It's where we have to lay hold of what God has said and say, I will fight for what God has said. And if you haven't found that's a battle yet, I'm very surprised Maybe you should be up here preaching. Because you see, I don't know about you, but I've found that God has told me many things that are totally different to where I'm at. I've had God tell me things, and I have got, really? Me? Are you sure you're talking to the right person? Anybody else been like that? It's like, that word cannot be for me because that just isn't me. And God says, yes, it's you. Now fight with it. God does not give us prophecies so that we can put them in a drawer and say, look at how many prophecies I've got. There's only one reason that God gives you a prophecy. Because you need something to fight with. God does not send his kids into a battle unarmed. See, I don't know about you, but I don't get terribly excited when somebody starts to prophesy over me. I start thinking, nice word, but not nice enemy, and when am I going to meet him? Some of you are laughing, but I know you know exactly what I'm talking about. Paul Manwaring calls this prophetic tension. Anybody been there? Anybody lived under the tension of having a word that you don't see fulfilled in your life? You have a choice. You either back off from it and become comfortable, or you fight with it and become fulfilled. The conference during the week, we were listening to Leif Heflin. One of the things that he said was that we often think when God takes us from glory to glory, it's just a straight line. Here's the glory, there's the next glory. No, God takes us from glory to glory. You can stand on a mountaintop and you can see the next mountain and you can say, that's wonderful. But if your feet are going to stand on it, guess what? You're going to have to walk through the valley and you're going to have to climb the next mountain. And sadly, many of people are just standing on the first mountaintop looking at all the other mountains going, oh, aren't they lovely? God says where the foot treads that I've given you. But we have to walk the valley to get there. I know, it's not the message that you're going to jump up and down and say, yay, keep preaching. But I hope you will by the end. Okay. Let's have a look at a couple of scriptures. 1 Timothy 1:18, this charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage a good warfare. Yeah, I know, you're reluctant to say it. I love Randy Clark's story. Most of us know Randy Clark as the healing evangelist. He sees amazing miracles. He prayed for 1,000 people before he saw one person healed. When would you have given up? I've asked myself that question. 1,000 people is a lot of people. Don't give up. Push in. See, there's a reward on the other side. What's the reward? It's the fulfillment of the promise. What's the promise that God's given to you? See, God is not a slot machine where we walk up and say, oh yeah, I want that one, and pull the lever and lo and behold, we have it. God says, if you want it, run after it. Why? Because it's in the process that we are able to handle what he gives to us. Too many of us are praying, God, I want to see people healed. Do you have any idea what that would look like if God fully answered that prayer for you? Everyone Jesus prayed for was healed. There were nights he could not sleep. There were crowds around him, pressing against him. His family at one stage thought that he had totally lost it. Why? Because of the pressure of the people. One of the things that I've had a heart to pray for is to pray for people that have problems that are overweight, and to see them miraculously come back to their intended size. Because there's so many problems that have been caused by people who are overweight. But can you imagine what would happen if God answered that and every person that came here that was overweight, we prayed for and they walked out and they were the right size. You know, give them braces to hold their clothes up as they walk out, you know. That would be absolutely awesome. Can you imagine how many people would be lining up at the door? Can you imagine how hot the phone would run? Come and pray for so-and-so. They are too much overweight to come to church. You come to them. See, we want the answer. Sometimes we don't understand what it would be like to have the full answer we're praying for. And God says, just keep praying, keep pushing, because while you keep pushing, you keep growing. Oh my goodness, that's only number one. Dear Lord, help me, Jesus. Next one. It's to debate with somebody. I believe that somebody is often ourselves. Because on the inside, we have this war going on. We have the lies that the devil has sown into our life. We have the thought patterns of the world that say it will be this way. We have a whole history of defeat. We have a whole history of where concepts have been sown into our life, and we have to deal with that. Sri would say, any dead fish can float downstream. We are not called to float downstream. We are called to create new streams. I'll move quickly on this one. Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Renewing the mind is a battle, but the reward is being able to see the will of God being established in your life and through your life. Don't give up on the battle. Find the lies and deal with them. Why? Because the lies will keep you from your destiny. That's the reason they're there. The devil saw your destiny long before you did. So we'll move on to the next one, to struggle to deal with something. This is kind of related to temptation, but goes beyond it. Ties in with the fact of the lies that have been planted in your life. In other words, this has to do with destiny. Folks, most of the battles that you are facing are not about the sins of yesterday, but they're about the anointing of today. Let me say that again for you, because I want you to start to see what is on the other side of what you are contending with. It's not about what you did yesterday, but it's all about what you could do tomorrow. When Moses was born, the children were killed. Same when Jesus was born. Why? Because the devil saw a destiny that had been released and he was out to destroy it. Folks, where you have been hit the hardest is where the glory in your life rests. That was a good place to say amen. From the beginning of time, it was stated that Christ would crush the devil's head, but the devil would bruise his heel. A bruised heel will heal. It will be restored. But a crushed head never will. See, where has the enemy come against you? Where are the bruises? Where are the scars? I'd like to suggest to you that is the very area that God wants to use you in. And most of us spend our life trying to cover up our bruises, trying to make sure that nobody sees our scars. I have news for you. 2 Corinthians 12:9. This is Paul's boy speaking. And he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." And we are all the time trying to get rid of weakness. "Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest on me." Most of us are boasting of our strengths, not our weaknesses. You've gone very quiet on me. If you've been wounded, get healed. Find grace and let God's glory touch other lives. See, if I went round each and every one of you and I heard your story and I've heard about the battle that you have won, I know that you're the best candidate to pray for somebody who is still fighting that battle. I can see some of you nodding. God wants to use you where you have been defeated. Really is an upside down kingdom, isn't it? Let's look at Jesus' life. Luke 4, verse 1. Then Jesus, being led with the Holy Spirit, with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Verse 14, then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. What happened between verse 1 and verse 14? He was tested. He fought a battle and won. The battles you are dealing with are about your victory. They're about your anointing. They're about the glory that God has called you to walk in. Don't back off from them. Jesus fasted 40 days and then the devil showed up. See, the devil will come when he sees that you are weak. And why does God allow him to come? So you can kick him in the butt. I had to work out how to say that politely with a microphone in my hand. The battle is over who you are called to be. Don't give up on the battle. See what's on the other side. The last one, to compete for something, especially a prize or trophy. Hopefully by now you're starting to grab hold of the truth of what God wants to impart to us this morning. There is something for you to lay hold of in God. Destiny doesn't come to us. We have to go to it. Because it's in the process that we start to walk out our faith. We start to grow in our trust in the Lord. We start to grow in maturity. We have to deal with character issues. We start to be sons and daughters that God can entrust with the anointing and with the glory that He wants to put on our lives. See, it's easy to dream a dream while you're lying in bed. But if that dream will be a reality, you have to get up out of bed and start walking. Will you do it perfectly? Of course not. But even the mistakes that we make along the way are all part of us growing in God. Don't give up on your dream. It's worth fighting for. Isaiah 40. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Friends, the mouth of the Lord has spoken. He has declared things. He has a dream. See, the dream that we have in our heart isn't just our dream, it's His dream. It starts with a voice that cries out and matches what the voice of God has declared. But I want you to notice that in between, there's where mountains have to come down. It's where hills have to be dealt with. It's where valleys have to be lifted up. There is a whole lot of shifting that has to happen. before what is in our mouth and our heart and what is within God's heart and God's mouth starts to combine, and there is a release of the glory that God wants revealed in this earth. If you feel like you're in a wilderness, start to cry out. Because there's only one reason God's got you there. So you can be just like Jesus and walk out with power on your life. And not only be delivered, but become a deliverer. Let me give you another scripture. Psalm 42:7. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls, or the word is also water spouts. In Psalms where it talks about the deep in us calls out to the deep in God. It goes back to Isaiah where the cry in the wilderness is related to what God is declaring on the earth. And there is this corresponding between what's in God's heart and what is in our heart. See, stop seeing it as your dream. It's God's dream. And deep starts to call to deep. Well, what's a water spout? Let me show you a picture of a water spout. It's where the water in the sea connects with the water in the heavens. There are two ways that a water spout is formed. One is in thunderstorms, where there is a tornado in the heavens that hits the earth, but it's not the earth, it's the sea. And because of that spiral, it starts to pick up the water and pull it to the heavens. But there is another way that a water spout is formed, and it is called a fair weather water spout. Because it doesn't need a thunderstorm. See, we easily cry out to God in the midst of need or in the midst of revival. Most of God's people cry out at those two times. But I believe the Lord's looking for those who will create a fair weather water spout. See, it doesn't originate in the heavens, it originates on the earth, where the calm and the wind starts to slowly move across the ocean, and it starts to create something that picks up the water and it starts to twirl and it connects with the heavens. That's the picture that God wanted to give us when he says deep cries out to deep. There is something deep in the heart of you that is crying out to God, and God's saying, I want to answer that because I want my glory released on the earth, and I want all the earth to see my glory. But folks, that's not going to be Jesus coming in the clouds. It's going to be the sons and daughters arising in glory on the earth. See, where are you at this morning? Have you found yourself contending for something? God's got you right in the right place. See, some of you are uncomfortable. Some of you don't know where to sit or how to sit or how to walk or what to do. There's just this uncomfortable feeling that you have on the inside. See, the only trouble with you is that nobody has told you you're pregnant. and I can see the smile on every woman here who has carried a child. Because before you give birth to it, you can't settle. You don't know whether you want to sit, to stand, to do whatever, because you're uncomfortable. Papa has a dream. And he releases his dream into the earth with a seed. And he places that seed inside us and it starts to grow. Most of us would much rather that a stork flew by. Here's what you've been praying for. Here's your baby. And do you know what we would do? We'd say, oh, great, just put it over in the corner. Because you never paid a price to give it life. See, every woman is a kitten until she gives birth. Then she's a lioness. You touch her child, and you'll find that she has a fight in her that she didn't even know existed. It's her child. She gave birth to it. There's something for you to give birth to. Birth does not come without cost. But it's worth it. It's well worth it. You're carrying something. It's called glory. The world wants to see it. Let's finish back in Romans 8. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. It's time for sons to start giving birth. You carry something the world needs to see. Don't back off from the fight. Let God birth his dream through you. Let God use you to start to bring mountains down. And to start to fill valleys. It starts with a cry. Usually a cry, God, use me. Let's pray. Papa, I thank you that you want to release your sons and your daughters into this earth because this earth is crying out for a papa, crying out for a God who loves them, somebody who understands, somebody who can come in and break the bondage that holds them. And Papa, you have put your glory upon your sons and your daughters. And Father, your word declares that the knowledge of your glory will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Lord, you've called us to walk in an amazing glory because it's your glory. It's not us. And Lord, you even choose to use us out of the midst of our weakness, in the places where we have been scarred, where we still carry bruises. Lord, you declare that you use us. Papa, we want to be sons. We want to be those who partner with you to see your will done on this earth. I want you to say this after me. Say, dream of God, live through me. To stay in that place of prayer, ask Papa what that dream looks like. Papa, show us the glory of the dream that we hold, that we might fight for it, that we might lay hold of it. Thank you, Lord.